Now, a good deal of our physical evil we can get rid of if we have control over the fine parts. A good many worries we can throw off if we have control over the fine movements. A good many failures can be averted if you have control over these fine powers. So far is utility. Yet beyond, there is something higher. Now I shall tell you a theory, which I will not argue now, but simply place before you the conclusion. Each man in his childhood runs to the stages through which his race has come up. Only the race took thousands of years to do it, while the child takes a few years. The child is first the old savage man, and he crushes a butterfly under his feet. The child is at first like the primitive ancestors of his race. As he grows, he passes through different stages until he reaches the development of his race. Only does it swiftly and quickly. Now take the whole of humanity as a race, or take the whole of the animal creation, man and the lower animals, as one whole. There is an end towards which the whole is moving. Let us call it perfection. Some men and women are born who anticipate the whole progress of mankind. Instead of waiting and being reborn over and over again for ages until the whole human race has attained to that perfection, they, as it were, rush through them in a few short years of their life. And we know that we can hasten these processes if we be true to ourselves. If a number of men without any culture be left to live upon an island and are given barely enough food, clothing and shelter, they will gradually go on and on, evolving higher and higher stages of civilization. We know also that this growth can be hastened by additional means. We help the growth of trees, do we not? Left to nature, they would have grown, only they would have taken a longer time. We help them to grow in a shorter time than they would otherwise have taken. We are doing all the time the same thing, hastening the growth of things by artificial means. Why cannot we hasten the growth of man? We can do that as a race. Why are teachers sent to other countries? Because by these means we can hasten the growth of races. Now, can we not hasten the growth of individuals? We can. Can we put a limit to the hastening? We cannot say how much a man can grow in one life. You have no reason to say that this much a man can do and no more. Circumstances can hasten him wonderfully. Can there be any limit then till you come to perfection? So what comes of it? That a perfect man, that is to say, the type that is to come of this race, perhaps millions of years hence, that man can become today. And this is what the yogis say, that all great incarnations and prophets are such men, that they reach perfection in this one life. We have had such men at all periods of the world's history, and at all times. Quite recently, there was such a man who lived the life of the whole human race and reached the end even in this life. He refers to his own teacher, Sri Ramakrishna. Even this hastening of the growth must be under laws. Suppose we can investigate these laws and understand their secrets and apply them to our own needs, it follows that we grow. We hasten our growth, we hasten our development, and we become perfect even in this life. This is the higher part of our life, and the science of the study of mind and its powers has this perfection as its real end. Helping others with money and other material things and teaching them how to go on smoothly in their daily life are mere details. The utility of this science is to bring out the perfect man and not let him wait and wait for ages, just as a plaything in the hands of the physical world, like a log of driftwood carried from wave to wave and tossing about in the ocean. This science wants you to be strong, to take the work in your own hand, instead of leaving it in the hands of nature, and get beyond this little life. That is the great idea. Man is growing in knowledge, in power, in happiness. Continuously we are growing as a race. We see that is true, perfectly true. Is it true of individuals? To a certain extent, yes. But yet again comes the question, where do you fix the limit? I can see only at a distance of so many feet. But I have seen a man close his eyes and see what is happening in another room. If you say you do not believe it, perhaps in 3 weeks that man can come you to the same. It can be taught to anybody. Some persons in 5 minutes even can be made to read what is happening in another man's mind. These facts can be demonstrated. Now, if these things are true, where can we put a limit? If a man can read what is happening in another's mind in the corner of this room, why not in the next room? Why not anywhere? We cannot say why not. We dare not say that it is not possible. We can only say we do not know how it happens. Material scientists have no right to say that things like this are not possible. They can only say we do not know. Science has to collect facts, generalize upon them, deduce principles, and state the truth. That is all. But if you begin by denying the facts, how can a science be? There is no end to the power a man can obtain. This is the peculiarity of the Indian mind, that when anything interests it, it gets absorbed in it and other things are neglected. You know how many sciences had their origin in India. Mathematics began here. You are even today counting 1, 2, 3, etc. to 0 after Sanskrit figures. And you all know that algebra also originated in India and that gravitation was known to the Indians thousands of years before Newton was born. You see the peculiarity. At a certain period of Indian history, this one subject of man and his mind absorbed all their interest. And it was so enticing because it seemed the easiest way to achieve their ends. Now, the Indian mind became so thoroughly persuaded that the mind could do anything and everything according to law, that its powers became the great object of study. Charms, magic and other powers, and all that were nothing extraordinary, but a regularly taught science, just as the physical sciences they had taught before that. Such a conviction in these things came upon the race that physical sciences nearly died out. It was the one thing that came before them. Different sects of yogis began to make all sorts of experiments. Some made experiments with light, trying to find out how lights of different colors produce changes in the body. They wore a certain colored cloth, lived under one certain color, and ate certain colored foods. All sorts of experiments were made in this way. Others made experiments in sound, by stopping and unstopping their ears. And still others experimented in the sense of smell, and so on.